Hello and welcome to Bounty Hunt, a weekly breakdown of the latest episodes of Star Wars television, brought to you by the Utini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friends JG Oz and special guest, Eric. This week, we're diving into Season 3, Episode 5 of The Bad Batch, titled The Return, to give you our in-depth reactions and analysis. This week's episode is brought to you by the Utini Discord community. Head on over to utini.com/discord to join the United. Find a bunch of like-minded folks like yourself and talk about everything from Star Wars to Brandon Sanderson novels to, I don't know, whatever you ate that time for dinner. So if you want to find more like-minded positive fans, go on over to utini.com/discord and check out our newly revamped server. But with that out of the way, let's jump into the show. Really quickly, Eric, welcome. I know this is probably your first time podcasting ever. Yeah. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going so well. I bought a microphone. Today, I went down to Circuit City and got a microphone. Thank you. It's so good to be here, guys. I really loved your talks so far, and I'm really glad that you decided to have me on the one where we're foregoing the Bad Batch to talk about Dune. I'm really excited.
You can't just cut off the joke I was about to make.
I'm only here for one episode, man. Yeah, I got to cut you off every chance I get.
I was going to let you know, Eric, this is not a Dune podcast. It's not a Dune Part 2 podcast.
You.
It's not a Popcorn Bucket podcast.
I feel like I can look at the Slack messages. I was clearly lied to and brought in here under false pretenses, but it is fun to be back being a Bounty Hunt for a couple of years. I love your guys' new format, your energy, and I will happily sip my margarita and go along for the ride.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely make sure to bring you back when we discuss Young Jedi Adventures Season 2 later on, or possibly Skeleton Crew. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but
Skeleton Crew does not exist.
We need a real show.
All right. Well, we have a real show tonight, and that is Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 5. I think a banger episode, if I do say so myself. We're going to hop right into our kind of high-level discussion. We open up the return to Pabu. Surprisingly peaceful entrance to the episode. It was nice to see like the mundane, like waking up, haven't seen your dad, drink coffee, aka Hunter, in the ship. It's nice to have the family back together.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, peace is always nice in this war among the stars, because we don't get it all the time. But people have been very scared for Pabu for a while now. And yeah. I feel like now every time it cuts to it, we're like, oh, is this the one? You know, ever since we saw Kamino get last, and they're just like, the Empire, they kill everything. Hopefully, Pabu, it's not happening, but at least it didn't happen today.
Yeah, this felt to me like when you're playing a video game and you had the big mission and you level up and it goes black, and then you go back to the hub world and you spend your skill points and you're kind of like, okay, got to talk to my crew again. I noticed we didn't talk to Wanda Sykes. What's her name?
Oh, Fee, you know, I think.
Fee.
Okay. Yeah, I was
no, Fee's great.
She's fine, but I was glad they didn't try to throw in auxiliary characters, because like the reunion, the quiet peace reunion, like you said, Jacob, between Omega and the crew was really nice, that we really got to take our time. And I think you guys mentioned Andor a couple times in your episodes. That same kind of idea of really letting it breathe and evolve at the beginning of the episode was really nice, and I think something that is fitting of a final season.
I felt that it had a good opening, a good contrast to the beginning of the season, where we open up a lot to her waking up in her cell, and it's very dark, it's dreary, and it's sad, but this is like the exact opposite. It is bright, it is happy, she's comforting her doll.
Like, yeah, she no longer has just that, like, homemade straw Lula. Like, that was the most excited. Obviously, seeing her hug Wrecker and Hunter last week was great. But when she had Lula, I was like, yeah, this is the stuff.
That's better. Yeah, she no longer has the Xbox that she drew on a piece of cardboard on the wall, being like, I'm playing Madden. Now she can actually play Ultimate Team again. It's really really heartwarming.
Yeah. Podcasting, it's cheaper than therapy.
That's right. But not cheaper than Madden Ultimate Team. Not a sponsor, but give us a call.
Yeah. I also really like the like significance and the emotions behind like Omega's little room in the Havoc Marauder, because like I think early on, like she gets her like little string like set up in like season one or whatever, where her dad makes up her bedroom and makes
it's
it all
her
cute.
Freshman dorm, 100%.
Yeah, and
real.
And then like
beads on her closet door.
Yeah, right. Her photos that she clips above her bed frame.
Yeah, and then episode two of the season, you know, we see like
Wrecker looking at it, depressed. The kid has moved out. It's empty nest mode. Her stuffed animal's still there. And then finally to have her back there, again, reuniting this family, I think was a very special moment. But, anyways, we are here very shortly. Of course, Crosshair misses some shots. It's not looking great, but AZ's back, so that's fun. But then we head off to Arrakis, but ice. So,
guys, it's already a bit in this episode. And if anyone knows us or follows us on socials, a lot of the Utini team has been getting into Dune this week. I laughed so loud when I realized I was going to be on tonight's episode, and it was literally the Ice Dune episode.
It's literally the only thing is the worm, but the worm being here like a week after this movie came out is just, I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Do you guys think they planned it?
No.
Okay. I also don't think so, because there's too many things that have to go into it, but like, they had to know.
Also, the thing is, though, it's Star Wars. Whatever episode they put the week after Dune came out would probably have a Dune reference, because that's just like the nature of what George built. Or, yeah, we'll say he built it, or stole, ripped off.
Whatever. Borrowed heavily.
Yeah. No,
inspired.
Yeah.
Inspired. Check out our video on the YouTube channel this week for something all about that.
Yeah, I'm being mean for fun. No, Star Wars is its own thing. This really was not Dune coded outside of it. Just like, oh, they both have a big worm.
Yeah. But sometimes that's
also enough. Omega did all those drugs in that one scene. But other than that, that was
yeah. Yeah, when Omega's eyes turned blue and she started taking out the entire empire by herself, that was pretty hardcore.
All surviving.
I'm the Lison Al Gaib.
Yeah. Hey, that was better than what you did in the pre-show.
Thanks, man.
Practice.
That's show up.
But then from there, we're heading into this this bunker, this base that Crosshair spent a little time at. And Batcher, our little doggy boy, our goodest boy, digging his way into the base to help everyone enter. Really, you know, earning his keep. He got them off of Wayland. He's now digging them into a base, digging his way into our hearts. I love him. If they kill him, I'm going to riot.
Yes.
He must be protected at all costs.
Yes.
I love that Batcher is like part of the crew. They could have easily left him back on Pabu. And because, you know, it's a big old dog, takes up a lot of room in the spaceship, but he proved his worth here.
Yeah. Also very video game coded, where the second after you get a power up in a game, all the levels like you go to happen to need to double jump. It's like, oh, we happen to go to the planet where we need to dig. How lucky we have this dog.
If Batcher's going to be really a part of the crew, I need them to get him like a Bad Batch red bandana with the 99 on it.
Oh my god, yes. Like after he got
you already see the toys lining up right
now. Oh, yes. Yeah, the creature stall, whatever, at Galaxy's Edge, you know the thing?
Yes.
They got all the Bad Batch, or the Batcher plushes.
Yes. You mentioned, speaking of armor, because Crosshair got his armor back, which was a great little moment.
Sick.
But also, yeah, you mentioned we have been here before. For those who maybe didn't remember or didn't pick up on the references back, it was a season 2 episode. Jacob, you watched it today. What
I did watch it. I am pulling it up. If you want to vamp for me for a second, I'll pull up the
name of it. But as sort of a reminder, Crosshair, in his working with the Empire, he gets stationed there, ends up going to, if I recall correctly, go hunt down, or not hunt down, but
the outpost. Season 2, episode 12.
Yeah. He goes and
incredible episode.
Some very good episode. He gets some very clones good. That were stuck in a mountain. They were recovering supplies, I think. But they keep getting picked off by the elements. He ends up finally rescuing them, and then the jerkwad Imperial guy who's above Crosshair is like, no, just leave him for dead. So then Crosshair plays a little Unova reverse card, hits him in the chest, and that is how he ended up in prison on Tantus. So that episode has proved to be very relevant for the series.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And there's a few like minor details I thought were very interesting, kind of carrying between the two episodes I noticed on my rewatch, which was when we arrive and Batcher has to dig down to the door. It wasn't just like there was like 3-4 feet of snow in front of the door. That door was up like a 2-flight staircase. So there's like 20 feet of snow in front of this this base that was no longer there after the Empire abandoned it. Again, It was, and this base was only holding armor for the new, like, TK troopers. That was it. They were, like, dying for, like, basically scraps to the Empire. So we had that part of it. And also those beacons were, like, giant poles instead of just tiny things sticking out of the ground. When Crosshair's coming in, he's, like, setting the clone trooper helmets up on the crates as kind of a respect thing. That's not just, like, him being nice and paying some respect and tidying up. That was something that Mayday did as well.
Yes.
He was, like, he also had all of his troopers that had passed away, and he set the helmets on the same exact way. And then the last thing I think that was really special for me was Mayday dies from an avalanche, dying kind of buried in the snow. Well, not buried in the snow. He gets buried, they get out, and then he dies. But Hunter also buried in an ice tunnel. But this time, Crosshair comes and saves him. So like, lots of really
another one.
Great symbolism, parallelism between these two episodes. So again, banger in season two, banger in season three.
Yeah, I think that this is one of the cool ways that Star Wars sometimes gets accused of, like, fan service by repeating characters, repeating locations and stuff. And I think this is the way to show that the galaxy is a living thing. Like, we saw there was time that went by in the first episode, as you, Jacob, correctly noted in your episode that StarWars.com got wrong.
They just counted differently.
I also got it slightly wrong, but they were like, this is it. And I'm like, that's definitely wrong. I can see in your screenshot.
I'm wrong, but you're also wrong.
Yeah.
But like, I like that in a galaxy, like once the planet is kind of abandoned, then the elements do take over and time passes. What happens in a planet like that? And that's kind of one of Star Wars' strengths, I think, when we go back to places where the world has continued outside the galactic conflict. Like, the Empire versus Rebellion doesn't matter for a lot of places, including literal nature. So that was kind of a really cool way to incorporate that without being like, hey, remember the other cool episode? I thought that was really, really deftly done.
So, Eric, what you're saying is you want to go back to Tatooine again.
I mean, it just works, man.
It doesn't miss.
The spice must flow, Jacob.
The spice must flow.
That's the last one, all right?
The thing is, it's really not.
Yeah, next week, no, but yeah, next week is the Max Rebo episode. It's Max Rebo and Fee.
God, and feet?
Anyway. Oh, yeah, all right.
Depends on which reference you're going off of, but sure.
Yeah. But no, talking about Crosshair a little. Also, actually, with the helmets, if I'm remembering right, the supplies that they all died to get was just like stormtrooper armor, right?
Yes.
To replace them.
Yeah, there was that big pile of helmets, and he only got the clone ones. He left a bunch of stormtrooper ones on the ground.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, screw the Empire. But, I mean, this was really his episode. Even though we had the whole batch together, I was telling my wife about it today. And she's like, that's animated, right? I was like, yeah, it's an animated show. She's like, is it for kids? I'm like, well, not like the one with Nubs is. Our son knows Nubs and Liz Soleil and Kai Brightstar. He's a cool kid.
As he should.
Yeah, like, it is for kids. But also, this week's episode was about PTSD, so, like, it's a little different. It's just, like, seeing him continually try to figure out who he is now that he's not only not the soldier he was, but he can't shoot the way he...
Yeah.
Like, that was his whole identity, is, like...
Yeah.
Just 360 no-scopes all day. And
yeah,
now
his literal name is...
Right.
Crosshair. It's like if Steph Curry was just called 3-point and then he got old and lost his shot.
Yeah. We want to like take a break from my serious discussion here. Did they wait till they like grew up a little to name them Hunter?
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, what's this guy? Well, what is Hunter's name? What does he do? Well, I don't know. He like senses stuff. That sucks.
Okay.
What does he do? Hunt? Sure.
Question on that. Does he not sense stuff anymore? Because like it seems.
Yeah,
no. In the Clone Wars, they're like, he has electromagnetic powers that lets him hunt things down and sense things and do tracking. And it's like, dog didn't know where the worm was.
He's
this episode.
A dad. He's just a dad is his power, man. And Oz, isn't that the superpower, being a father?
Yeah, it's just protecting everyone instinctually and also putting them in danger. Like, you throw your kid 20 feet high into the pool, but like it's gonna be okay. It's a mix.
I'm excited for your future face tattoo then, Oz, if that's how that goes. Hey,
you know, I might have to get permission on that one. So it's just Wrecker, or I mean, not Wrecker. Wrecker's also having a hard time, which is like somehow more emotional.
Yeah.
But seeing Crosshair, I'm going to say this every week. I didn't want a redemption for him. And Brad and Jin are like, nah, screw you. We're doing it. And it's working really well.
Same here.
It's so earned.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what I've realized. With this show especially, is doing very well in these first few episodes, this one as well, is that we can say, I want X to happen. I want this arc. I want this era. I want this thing. If the scripts are written well and it's directed with care and skill, do whatever you want. Like, this is, what do we know? Just make good TV.
Except bring Mace Windu back.
We can't have that.
No.
But
I have been thirsty before, guys, but I've never been as thirsty as Samuel L. Jackson is to be Mace Windu again.
It is real.
Need. He's horny on Maine to be Mace Windu. For sure.
And on the Empire magazine. I don't know why, yes. But that's, you know, that's his outlet. So respect.
Shout out Empire magazine. That photo shoot was lit.
It was.
Yeah.
Literally.
For sure. One thing I really loved, like, of talking about, like, expectations and stuff like that is, like, at the end of last week's episode, always, you know, making predictions is silly and kind of, and it's just fun. We're just having fun. But we're like, the return, what could the return mean? Maybe the return of the Asajj Ventress, maybe something like that. And then we're going back to the ice planet. So again, just kind of subverting our expectations in a good way. It was a banger. If someone says filler, I will remove you from the Discord.
The first thing I said in the group chat.
Yeah. Trev, you're, I'm sorry. I'm closing the Star Wars Archives channel. There's nothing you can do about it.
I think the return could also, like, you can also, like, if we're going to go real deep here, you can look at it as the return of the relationship between Crosshair and his relationship with his family.
Yes.
And how it, like, is slowly evolving over this episode, where, like, it was very stale, but then by the end, like, progress has been made.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, we can welcome you back, but, like, let's not pretend you didn't do a lot of horrid stuff. Like, you almost killed us and a lot of other people, so we're not, like, cool. We're getting there. And I think that's also a very important lesson to your point, Oz, about, you know, with you and your wife, is this for kids? Yes, still kind of. I think that younger audiences seeing that there are still consequences to your actions, even if you do apologize. I think that's also kind of a really nuanced take that's important to see.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, Omega, you know, naturally is the heart of the show. And she's basically playing counselor for Crosshair through the whole thing. She's like, you know, go talk to him. And she could tell, though, that, like, he wanted to, because there's that early moment when they're, like, during the greeting and the morning coffee and everything, and Crosshair's just like, what, no hug for me? Like, yeah. they're already getting that banter back. There's a lot of great banter throughout the whole episode. Like, it's just such a good crew that started out as four silly archetypes that now it's such a fully developed cast.
Yeah.
And it's all just one dude in a room doing some
she's like I it is funny because it does feel like Omega telling her uncle to go talk to her dad to be like, was he asking about me? Like, he should apologize first. Like, it's just so, it's funny to see her going through that growth on Tantus as well, because she lived a whole life outside them for the first time, really. And she had to grow up and really find, you know, her strength and lead really Crosshair out of there. So to see her almost being not only the heart at the center of the show, but almost the most mature one as well at times, I think is also very nice to show. No, you know, what if she has the quip of like, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
Like, you're my little brother. Yeah.
That was a great line of
dialogue. The best line of the show in this episode, for sure.
I think we maybe talked about that last week, how she aged like Boba, whereas they all got the acceleration. So she's what, 15, and they're all like four. Maybe a little older than that. I don't know.
Yeah. So she's almost ready to complain ad nauseum to Aura Singh, I think, that at this point in her life. God, young
she's going to shave her head and get a really sick bounty hunter costume. You know, be the boss. I mean, she already kind of is the boss of a crew that's, you know, much, I mean, quote unquote, older than her. So
I would love to see Crates Claw show up. For non-sickos out there, that's Boba's bounty hunter gang. I know that's like, oh.
Wow.
I just re-listened to Dark Disciple last week, hoping that Asajj was coming back soon. I jumped the gun a bit, but I'm ready for it now. And
you should have had the game.
Yeah, Boba and Co. show up in that, and he's such a little stinker.
He's exactly a stinker. That's the perfect description for young Boba.
Which he apparently has his armor now. We never got to see him get it, but...
Well, if you watch the Clone Wars story reels on...
Yes. You don't actually see him get it.
I know.
He's just wearing it. He takes a shot from Cad Bane. I've seen the story reels, Jacob. Don't try to one-up me.
Don't quote the old magic to me, witch.
Yeah. Oz is like, not only have I seen them, I made my own custom DVD box set with all of these on there, so...
That project may be, like, in the back of my mind. I'm never going to get there.
Yeah.
But okay. It's something I would do.
It's good to have a white whale.
Yeah, for sure. Well, some other fun details I think we should kind of talk about in this episode was going back to Crosshair a little bit is, you. I think Oz mentioned earlier, him getting his armor back. And what I think is so cool and unique about this is I think myself and maybe a lot of people assumed going into season 3, seeing like the promotional images, is that they repainted their armor because it looks kind of yellow now. Mm-hmm. I'm now kind of the mind that everyone's has just faded from like sunlight over time, and this is just them gradually getting older and in disrepair as we get farther and farther away from the like end of the war, because Crosshairs is still fresh and red because it's been in a box for the past season and a half or so.
They would have kind of repainted his to match there as if they were holding that to a sentimental value. Maybe I'll take one of my Funko Pops and just put it in the sun for a couple days and let you guys know later in the season what happens to it.
That's how costume designers do their job.
Exactly.
Funko Pops.
They mess with the Funko.
Stick it out, sign, see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. How would this look? Yeah. That's interesting because there's definitely an aesthetic difference. Like, and as I'm sure we, without any irony, will see with Funkos and Hasbro figures in the future. But that's an interesting idea that it is just a fade.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to go look back. That's what these conversations y'all have make me do. It's like, I don't know. I got to go back and watch it again because that makes a lot of sense.
I had the same thought that they're just getting worn, which is nice to see in TV. A lot of shows, especially cartoons, sitcoms and stuff, everything resets at the end of 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like Arrested Development, they had to talk about how after every episode, the crew kept coming in and painting over all the blue handprints. And they're like, no, we want them to stay there. That's part of the joke.
Wow.
Because like no one was doing that, which I know that this is not played for comedy. That's just like, yeah, they're getting older. They're getting phased out.
Yeah.
They don't have resources. I mean, yeah, sure, they could score some paint, but they don't have resources that they had when they were part of the Republic Army.
Although fuel is free. That's what I love. That's true. In Star Wars, like, we're so poor. We can fly anywhere in the galaxy.
Well,
at any time.
It's free unless the story needs it to cost money.
Unless you need
resistance. Watch resistance.
Where's my solo heads? Where's my solo heads?
I was going to say, unless you have to work for Sid or in Scaleback and you have to, you know, pay for all your housing and food and fuel and stuff like that. But again,
stop
if the story
old
dictates.
Government name.
it sounds like a curse word. Just saying it.
Sidrin Scaleback.
The queen that she is.
We
haven't put JG and Eric head to head about Sid yet. Unfortunately, it's not in this season, so they can't fight over
yet. Not yet.
Can't imagine why.
Oh, she'll show up. She'll be in it.
Oh, to be clear, I have no doubt. I have no doubt.
But, so, okay. Setting Sid aside, some serious talk. I'm kind of curious what you guys think about the relationship of Hunter and Crosshair going forward. Because obviously we're, like, on the path to healing, but we're definitely... We're not there yet. And, you know... I think Wrecker might be a little bit more willing to accept Crosshair how he is now, but what do we think we're going to be going through to get to that moment where they actually are fully trusting of each other again?
I mean, I think this helps. I think literally saving his life helps, but I really think that it'll be I think they'll get there, to be clear. That's my easy prediction. I think that they're definitely going to fully heal sooner rather than later. I think this season is really showing us that they're not really wasting a lot of time with inevitable things. Like, they got them together a little quicker. We're going to get the info quicker. Like, they're really pacing it well. So I think it'll come in a moment where Crosshair specifically does something to save Omega in front of Hunter. It's like, I'm going to save your daughter's life, basically. You know what I mean? So I think that's where we're going to go with that. Would be my
opinion. Or kill Omega.
That would fracture the relationship, I think. Yeah, I think that, yeah, that would be definitely something that would hurt.
That might end the redemption arc.
You know what I'd say? Yeah, but didn't he also flamethrower some people last season? So, like, yeah, Crosshair can do a lot of bad stuff.
But there's a difference between flamethrowing some people and flamethrowing my kid.
Right.
That, you know, that's true. That's as a parent, you would know.
Yeah, I think that their interaction, one of the best lines, they're arguing, bickering, and, you know, they're being spiteful, but a lot of it is kind of true. And Crosshair says to Hunter, like, she was in jail because you failed her, and you're angry because she escaped with my help.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't need to say it, but also he wasn't wrong.
He wasn't. Okay, he might have been exaggerating a little bit when he said he's the one that helped her get out. I'm gonna be real. I think, sure, Omega could have gotten out by herself. But
yeah, I mean, literally told her to.
With Batcher.
But it's like, you messed up and then she needed me. It's like big Jess Mariano energy from Gilmore talking to Dean, being like, listen, you were with her, but then she needed me. That's for eight of you. You're welcome.
I understood that reference.
Yeah, no, my wife will be very excited for that reference. So thank you.
My wife, who does not listen to this podcast.
But yeah, I'm really interested to see where this goes. Like, obviously him saving Hunter is gonna go a long way, but we're still not there yet. But like Eric said, I'm very excited for the pace we've been taking things this season. I know I made jokes about it earlier. There's not been filler. It has been moving the plot forward, yeah, or moving the characters forward every single episode. So
yeah, and I think there are filler episodes in Star Wars and in television. Like, I'm not all those people that say nothing's filler. Like, yeah, there are some that could have done more. This season, though, I think there's a difference between, like you're saying, intentional pacing and filler.
Yeah, I mean, we got one just last week, so we've all seen it.
Shush, shush.
Yeah, the filler episode that had a key plot point with main characters.
Yeah, and the last 30 seconds, which, I mean, was the big point I made last week, is that, like, filler and bad are not synonyms.
No.
There are bad filler episodes out there. There are bad plot episodes. It's just, like, stop using that. It's like calling something under or overrated. You're not actually saying anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But this was certainly not a filler episode by any stretch of the definition.
And there is one important thing we have not mentioned at all somehow in our conversations yet. We have another return that happens in this episode. And that is the return of Echo. I don't think we've mentioned him at all.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Wait a minute.
So our boy Echo is back. He
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, he came from the mission with whatever him and Rex are doing now. Just him for now. But yeah, the Batch is, again, minus Tech, which we even get a direct reference to, is back together fully, temporarily.
Yeah. Really cool to see Echo again. From his time in a show that I desperately want to see, or a book I really would love to read about him and Rex. But that was really cool. I think he gives the Bad Batch, I think, this might sound harsher than I mean it, but like a sense of legitimacy of, mm-hmm, like, he's a legacy clone. He's one of the OGs. Like, him being back makes it feel like, oh yeah, this is real. This is connected to the universe at large. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, because, like, it would be very easy to, like, walk into Clone Wars Season 7 and you're like, you're telling me this group has been here the entire time and we're just finding out about them? So, like, yeah, I think having him in there just kind of makes them gel a little bit better within the universe itself.
Yep,
at
absolutely.
At the same time, I would love some untold tales of the Bad Batch. Like, what did they get up to before that arc in Season 7? I know
Oz, if you read Hyperspace Stories 10, I think. Yeah. Or no?
This sounds like Hyperspace Stories, just you're that not, pitch alone.
You're not going to catch me off guard there. I know about their one other canon appearance.
Yeah. They get to go after a stuffed animal. It's great.
Maybe after Tales of the Jedi Season 2, we get Tales of the Clones. Like, it's just going to be basically Clone Wars Season 8, but it's all
canon knowledge. That's just Clone Wars, man.
The Loster missions.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh man, Clone Wars is so linear and such a good story. I'm like, back in the day, it was just random named characters doing random stuff in the Clone Wars, and it was great.
Yeah, God, don't look up the timeline order of the Clone Wars. It's not good. Yeah. It's not a
fun rookies. Time. Oh, that's the first episode, right? Not Wrong. Even close.
Wrong. You gotta start with season three, believe it or not. So
you're gonna give me on a rant and I really don't feel like it.
All right, okay. We're gonna divert before Oz freaks out. But yeah, we also haven't mentioned really the core of why they were on this planet, which was to recover some records from Nala Se's data pad. It ended up only being really medical records, so they don't have a whole lot of information going on. But we're at least, again, moving in a positive direction, getting ourselves to Tantiss eventually.
Yeah, and plug in the iPad, and you only backed up the computer at a different terminal hub.
An Imperial one.
It worked out great, but it was so funny where she's like, oh, if you plug it into a trusted computer, then you can get through the passcode. I'm like, this is just an iPad. And it's so great because it works. Like, it makes sense. And it was very funny.
It's a Questus.
Yeah, okay, that's the Chiss version. Thank you very much.
God, my fake fan is so showing. Sorry. Chiss Twit or whatever y'all. Y'all call yourselves Chiss Twit. Is that?
Yes, that's the thing. Yeah.
Is that the phonetic spelling of Chiss
Twit? I think so. That's how it sounds in my head. But do you think since this iPad like device is old enough, that it has Flappy Bird on it still? Is that...
oh my god, anymore? It better...
I think I have a phone somewhere with that on it. I know we're like way off the rails
it's
now.
It's like literally 10 years ago.
What a time, though.
But yeah, so I think a really solid episode overall.
This was legitimately great.
Yeah, any other kind of final thoughts before we move into like our questions and our predictions?
Well, we obviously mentioned the worm because of Space Dune. Mm-hmm. Or all Dune is Space Dune, I guess.
Yeah, as opposed to Earth Dune.
Yeah, well.
Well, I haven't read the books. Yeah, there's 28 of them.
Only six count, so it's fine.
The worm is charging at them and stuff. I want to know, these guys are very smart soldiers. What did he think a sniper rifle was going to do to this thing?
It worked, though.
Yeah,
so
I think it's more so what I got from it, because I agree, very silly to try to shoot at it. I think it was more sort of like to guide it in a certain direction or to like get its attention, anger it. I will say though, this is no intention of the episode, and this is legitimately not a bit. I was wondering if they were going to try to ride the worm. I was like, it's right there. You could just get on it and ride it around and try to like lasso it or do something, and they didn't, and that's fine. Not everyone has to be really cool. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's you know, not everyone could be like, you know, Crosshair Muad'Dib. Bad Batch, it's fine.
Yeah, there were no little mice in this episode.
There were no little mice! God.
I still have not seen Dune, but, you know, it's fine.
It's so good.
But, you know, by this time next week, I think I will have seen it in 70mm IMAX. This is not a Dune podcast.
You and your museum.
My state museum. One of the best IMAXs in the country. It's weird. Anyways...
Mayday's helmet from the last time we were here kind of looked Fremen-esque. So
did.
One other thing I want to talk about, speaking of that season two episode, is going back and rewatching that today. It shows how bad Crosshair's tremors are and how far he has regressed. Because you're like, oh yeah, I remember Crosshair being good, and you're like, oh wow, he's just like no scoping, like literally just halfway across the map.
Yeah.
Like pinpoint every single time. Now it's like I can't shoot a fruit off of AZ's hand with a lot of concentration. So
yeah,
he still got 53% accuracy, which
he did not feel like 53.
It did not feel.
He only saw his last three shots.
But
he'd
no,
out there for 9 hours.
Like there was that episode with him and Cody too in season two, where like they went up the stairs and Cody flipped the reflector in midair and Crosshair found it in the air and shot it and then ricocheted like. He is an inhumanly good, possibly one of the most talented members of the Bad Batch, just by pure skill. And now the fact that he's going through that, I think, is very interesting. I am fascinated to know, and this might go in our predictions as well, like how much of that is psychological versus how much of that is like, is his body literally the way clones age and evolve? Like, is it shutting down? Is it that it had a limited usefulness? I want to see how they move that forward and if he can aid himself or if that is only tied to the soul of a killer.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
You just know he's going to make some sick shot at some point in the season.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be awesome. That or, like, he's going to hand the gun to Omega and she's going to do it. Either one of those would work.
No, she'd be like, Crosshair, you have to shoot him. He's like, I can't. Yes, you can. Your name is Crosshair. You're the best shot in the galaxy. Better, better, better. It's like, how did I
get to mention to the listeners that we got Dee Bradley Baker for this episode?
Special guest. It's Michelle Ong, I think is her name.
Well, yeah, he did both voices, but we got both of them.
I've been playing the cameos very, very tactically during.
We're gonna find a way to get you to do the Marchion voice before this episode is over. Don't worry,
Jacob. You referenced it really quickly, but we did get an Einar.
I did. Really I noticed.
Speaking, I mean, just of how good Crosshair is. One thing I wrote down because he's talking about he did an this mission for the Empire. The Empire fumbled their best soldier. Like,
oh my god,
They totally screwed it up. I get that the Empire is like racist and judgmental, and they hate clones and like all these other things. So that's the point of them phasing out the clones. But like, they probably wouldn't have lost the Death Star if Crosshair was still around. Like, let's just be honest, they
fumbled the bag, as it were.
But then
they lost a baddie, you know.
Yeah, keep going. You got just dabbed. You can't see
an audio. If I dab harder, maybe the mic will pick it up.
Patreon bonus. We're gonna just show. We're just gonna send you the screenshot of Eric dabbing.
Yeah, please clip that. I want to know. Or there's two more things about Crosshair. One, I want to know how many toothpicks he has. Because at first I was like, dang, he's had that toothpick forever. But then he drops it, and I was like, wait, was that his last toothpick? So we'll keep track of
which of the pouches has them.
I think it's like the Hawkeye quiver where he just constantly has a supply of toothpicks.
And then we mentioned his and Wrecker's relationship, but we didn't really talk about it. He made a legit apology. Like, he didn't just come up and be like, are we good now? No, he was like, I messed up. My bad. I killed some innocents. Super great character arc. He's going to go down, surprisingly, as one of the better character arcs we've seen on screen.
Yeah, it's shocking for a character that I also like had pretty much zero interest when the Bad Batch first started, and even into last season, didn't really care. I'm like, oh, he's the bad guy. Cool, I get it. He's tough. And they are really doing beautiful work, and I agree, Oz. I didn't expect that blatant of an apology, and maybe that just shows like how dark he went.
Which is why I liked him so much. Again, I'm going to mention this every week, but the moment he revealed that he took out his own inhibitor chip is one of the coolest villain moments in Star Wars, which is kind of why I didn't want a redemption, because he's like, nah, I'm just a bad dude. But it's Star Wars, so they've got to redeem him. Not surprised, but I am surprised it's working as well as it is.
Yeah. He was like, I actually did have a good relationship with my mother. It's like, oh no.
Nala Say, is that you? No. Yeah.
Do Nala Say's voice.
See,
no.
The Kaminoans.
There you go. That's good.
Mother Say? No? Anyway.
I think episodes 1 and 3 of the season did phenomenal work for his character, and I'm really happy to see where we are now with it. But great episode overall. I think really excited to see what's coming down the road. A reminder, this episode of the Bounty Hunt podcast is brought to you by the Utini Discord community. It's gone through some changes. If you haven't been over there in a while, it looks brand new. We got some fancy new looking channels. I'll give a personal shout out to the Discord community, because that is how I guess, really found Utini. I started with the bookshelf. I listened to Living Force, and I hopped in the Discord as a community member, probably like 4 years ago now. And here I am, hosting a podcast, talking about Star Wars with some great friends that I have met through there as well. JG, I know, also has a lot of great memories from being straight up one of the first people, like the first 5 people to message in the Discord, which is insane. But yeah, I think it's a great community of like-minded fans. There's just so much positive conversation going on there all the time, more than I could possibly keep up with, if I'm being honest. But I'm really happy to see all the cool conversations about Star Wars comics, Star Wars books, and again, almost anything you can imagine, whether it's whatever 50 billion new Brandon Sanderson novels have somehow been published in the past year, or Oscar conversations, or fantasy football and hockey, anything you can possibly imagine. You can find a bunch of chill, nice people talking about it in the United Discord. So if that sounds like something you want to join, I highly recommend it. Go check out utini.com/discord to get the invite link, and you can hop in, join there, say hello, and meet a bunch of great people And yeah, hope you enjoy it. All right, gang, we are moving on to our community questions and our predictions for what's happening next week. We have one question coming over from our Discord community. It's from Pavement Fan.
Real quick, before you jump into that, I think we should point out some people listening may have noticed JG's been a little
quiet
of late.
Oh, yeah.
He is not shy. We are not talking over him. We do that plenty, but his power died like 20 minutes ago or something. So he unfortunately can't finish off the show with us. Unless he, I mean, if it comes back on, if you hear his voice here in a minute, then I guess we're all good. But
yeah, so
AG,
well, I think I know power. Why it happened. I just saw that about an hour ago. The Bills signed Mitch Trubisky, so Pittsburgh might be rioting over the loss of their golden child.
Is that golden? Is that what we're calling that now? Mitch Trubisky?
Mitchell. Right. It's something. So thoughts with JG and all your countrymen for your loss this night.
While I would we're on this very be a Dune podcast than a football podcast.
Yeah, but while we're on this super quick football tangent, remember, Eric, I did win Utini Fantasy again. I have been saying that this is why you quit the Living Forces, so you didn't have to report that to the world. So while you're here, just have to rub that in.
I don't like that.
And I came in second. Truth.
Yeah,
that's
a force
not
on
right.
the top of the mountain again.
Didn't I?
Is it? Did you
yeah, no, I think
you
did.
I was high up there. Anyway, I was high.
Anyways,
than I should have been.
The Bad Batch
pulling up sleeper right now.
Community questions. Pavement Fan from Discord. What happened to Crosshair's inhibitor chip? Well, we did mention it earlier in the episode, but in case you don't remember, Crosshair at some point off screen removed his inhibitor chip. It was a big heel turn. I mean, he's already the heel at that point of the season. But the big evil reveal is that he was not doing it because of his inhibitor chip. He removed it already and was just a good soldier following orders. So, as far as we're aware.
Yeah, technically, we don't know if he took it out of himself or if the Empire took it out, because obviously they would have known. Well, some people could have known about it. But we know he's aware and was okay that it came out.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
That's
also,
the big
sorry, I got to own up, everybody. Oz did get second.
Thank you.
I just forgot because I did outscore you by 50 the last game.
Oof, yeah, that's fine.
In the third place game. Anyway.
Not what matters, so unfortunate.
Yeah, sorry.
Good point about the chip, though. I had actually forgotten that legitimately about the chip because I don't really rewatch a lot myself, so that is one thing that I forgot as well, Pavement Fans. So that's it's just another cool thing, as you said, Oz, to remember that, oh, no, I'm just a bad guy.
Yeah.
So do you guys like that that happened off screen so we got that reveal, or would you have preferred to see Crosshair take it out?
Yeah, I think
we didn't need to see that.
Yeah. I think the impact of the moment was worth it. But
in one of the seasons of Tales of the Clones, we'll see that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Fine.
He gets to meet up with Kix, who's still somehow alive, get it removed.
Ooh, are we talking about obscure media?
Yeah. Kix live into the sequels?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyways, before
that is Tales from the Galaxy Far, Far Away, Aliens, and Star Wars Adventure 2017/2020, where you can find Kix's story. I am not joking, by the way.
Yeah, Kix lives to be like 70. Anyways, I do
a bunch
think
of nerds in here, on man. The, God.
Genuinely confused by what we're talking about. Hey, it's called Tale of the Crimson Corsair. It's the Crimson Corsair from Force Awakens. That dude's awesome.
Oh yeah, no, he rocks actually.
He used to look cool.
Idan Sithano. Sithano, right?
Idan Sithano. Yeah.
Idan Sithano. There he goes. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. Back to Earth here. Back to Kamino. I do think that just kind of talking about different details like that. This series is going to be a really solid rewatch. Like from start to finish when we're all done. There are definitely some parts, namely in season two, that drag a little bit, but I think just like the fact that it's just three seasons of pretty solid television. There's not like, it's not quite Clone Wars levels of like, oh God, here's like eight episodes in a row that I'm not going to like. Right. I think it's going to be a very solid, like complete package to rewatch, and I'm excited to kind of eventually do that.
I agree.
Someday.
It's also, it's not necessarily Clone Wars level of like, oh, you have to watch this. This is like building up the universe now. That in here in a couple weeks, depending on what happens with Palpatine, Snoke, maybe blah blah blah, that could change. However, it's also not. I don't want to be mean to JG while he's off air, but it's not quite Resistance where like you can just skip it and forget about it. Resistance is still a good show. I'm not, JG's going to listen to this tomorrow and be really sad, but it is very much a side story, which is what I thought Bad Batch was going to be. And yet it's like, it's bringing a lot of heat, both in quality and in like in world building, which is not what I expected. I expected it to be, you know, two seasons like the season 7 arc was.
Yeah. Just
adventures of these four kooky clones. I thought maybe, oh, we'll connect it to the Rebels appearance of Rex and all them. But it's so much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's also kind of one of the most Star Wars things ever, right? Is that the thing that is that you think might be the most throwaway, action-y, silly thing actually ends up being the most heartwarming, hard-hitting thing in the world.
Shout out Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah. Hey, God. Hey, you guys like Firefly and stuff?
What if trauma hit your family?
Speaking of, did you see the Kane Era comic book cover that is got revealed recently? It was a like tribute 10-year anniversary something something.
There's been a lot of really good Rebels 10-year anniversary.
It was here next to an explosion, off. So you know it's a ship
that makes me sad.
Yeah. Anyways, quickly after ruining your evening, another question we have from our buddy Caroline was: is Batcher officially Crosshair's therapy / PTSD dog? I've likened him to the dog that the dad does not want to adopt, but gets anyways and becomes irresponsible for, unlike the rest of the family. But I also like the single.
Yeah. I think that's more of it. I think I don't think he's going to help Crosshair heal in the way that a therapy PTSD dog. I don't think Crosshair is going to be shaking and Bash like puts his, you know, his chin on the hand or anything like that. But I do think that he will be something when the Crosshair loves that's like, you know, I don't know if he's going to sleep. I don't think you said, Jacob, we're going to find them sleeping on each other in the Marauder, but...
Wait.
No. It is the idea of like, well, we can't leave the dog. We can't leave... who's going to look after Batcha? If that's its name, I don't know. Like, you know.
Yeah, really cute. He doesn't actually know.
Of
course, the only reason... this is a reference for Eric specifically. The only reason they have to use Batcher as a therapy dog is because they haven't all gone to Endor yet and conscripted the Ewoks into therapy animals.
It's an Aftermath reference?
That is from Aftermath. Thank you, Chuck Wendig, for...
Oh, God. Back to the Ewoks.
Ewoks as therapy animals.
Oh, my God. And they're real good at it.
Yeah, we just call those friends usually.
Tomato, potato.
Yeah, where's Peekpa? Peekpa would solve all my problems.
Yeah, right.
A quick shout out before our next question. Welcome back, JG. Is that? I assume everything's okay.
Yes, just good old jamming transmissions, you know, invasion, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying we found out that Mitchell Trubisky just got put over to the Bills, so I assume your city was rioting with sadness over the loss of your golden child.
Oh yeah, we were so upset about that.
What I actually assume kicked your power back on is it heard me talk about Star Wars Resistance. So you
did, literally.
Like, the jolt we needed.
Yeah, she said they're about with a crank. I'm needed. No, they're calling me.
No one tell him what I said.
Oh, no, you'll just have to listen.
I'll listen back. Listen back. See, what it took, though, was me complaining on Twitter, because literally seconds after me complaining on Twitter, it came back on. That's all you gotta do.
Works.
Thanks, Elon.
Nope.
It's twitter.com. I don't care what you tell me. We have another question. Well, another two questions, I think. One and a half. From Gia. Are there any other Kaminoans out in the wild besides Nala Say? Is she the last of her kind? Did Hallie Bertone die? I don't remember. I know she was in last season, but I can't remember if she got taken out or not.
It's rude of you to assume I know who that is.
Hallie Bertone.
I made a lot of glub references, but I cannot. The phrasing is so
bad. Know, at the very least, I don't know about that, but we know at the very least that Can Bay is still out there.
These are not
Pony, right. We're in callback.
I need to mention.
That's what's up. He's right.
Hallie Bertone was in season 2 of The Bad Batch. She was the senator for Kamino.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest part is Hallie Bertone is just a straight up pun on Halliburton because she's
Halliburton,
like
right?
She's a defense contractor.
Okay, that's great. Here's the thing, I think, Gia. If there are Kaminoans, there will not be in 2 years in the galaxy. Like, but to the point where, like, no one eventually ever hears of Kamino existing anymore. Like, there's. he gets wiped off the face of the planet in season one. So I think that there's no way they're just going to keep Kevin Owens out there.
I mean, but do you think that the Empire cares enough to like put out a kill on side order, or it's just like they know who the worthwhile ones are, the cloners?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Alderaan. Yeah. They're not like required to go out and kill everyone from Alderaan.
That's true. I don't know. But it's like Kevin Owens. Yeah. They got all the ones that know how to clone, and the other ones don't really feel like breeding, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that sentence.
That was a no.
But I guess a further answer of your question, we know for a fact there's at least one in the sequel era, and Halle Bertoni is very likely still alive in the season.
Yes. Probably less than 50-ish, give or take.
Yeah.
There's as many Kaminoans as there are Yodas, which is to say we don't know.
Yeah. There's at least two and possibly a million more
on the way, yeah. Question mark? Breed? No. But okay, I think those are our main questions from the community. Another few we had tacked on here is Echo came back. When are we getting Rex, if ever?
Yeah, I wrote that in there because I mean, it's like let's start talking predictions a little bit for.
Yeah,
they've talked about this Echo and Rex adventure for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see Rex. Like he hasn't been in any of these four episodes, correct? Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. That's correct. And we have to get him to Wolf and Gregor somehow.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
My thought is, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I've thought from the beginning this is going to show us A to B of some kind of how the Rebels clones got together.
Mm-hmm.
The finale of this season is called The Cavalry Has Arrived. That has to be just like, it's like Avengers Endgame, but for the clones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, D is going to be going wild in the booth.
Yeah. Forgive me if you guys said this already. I know it'll likely be far later in the season of Bounty Hunt, but like, is this the last time we ever see clones? Like, is this their the next animated show with this animation style? Are there clones at all, or are we good?
I would guess
just the cavalry.
Probably not. I mean, one of the things that did...
We got Jazz of the Jedi Season 2 coming out.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure, sure.
It might be our last clone show, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we'll get things like Rebels appearance.
Yeah. I think based on, like, Dave talking at one of the last... I think it was Celebration Anaheim. It kind of seemed like he was personally passing the animated torch on and kind of moving on with that chapter of his career. So I think the odds of having more clone-focused shows are going down as time goes on.
I don't think there's also that many stories left to be told, really.
Also a very good point. Yeah, they have naturally ended, but to your original question, Jacob and Oz, you know, when will we see Rex? I think realistically, like, I think at the end, absolutely, I think he's part of the final charge. That's pretty great. I think we'll see him one more time, maybe around the 2/3 mark of the season.
Yeah, so. I think he'll show up.
Yeah, briefly.
Maybe a Rex episode, kind of like Crosshair episode last season.
Yeah.
That's my guess, is we're going to have a completely separate episode featuring their mission right now.
Yeah, we're planning to come when you know what Texas is. You call me. We'll be there. The cavalry has your bear. We know whatever in the hell.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be really cool.
I think April 3rd's a good contender because we have episode 10, which is Identity Crisis, and then episode 11, Point of No Return. So it's a few episodes before. And I mean, you know, clones, good Identity Crisis. I think that is, and putting, if we're going to have two episodes, putting one that's totally not on the Bad Batch, but then the second episode about the Bad Batch kind of works, and it doesn't take away, you know, from the people who are going to say, oh, why are the Bad Batch not in the show? You know?
Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like
it. As a side theory, I think that's Ventress week, but we'll find out next week.
Well, Ventress is next week.
So, let's make some predictions. We have a two episode week next week. We have episode 6, Infiltration, and episode 7, Extraction. So they're
getting up so early.
It's going to be a mission. They're breaking in, they're infiltrating, they're extracting something. Is that Asajj Ventress, or is it something else?
Yes.
We're going to rescue Voth.
Yeah, I mean, it could, but also that could be the name of a clone mission, two-parter, like Infiltration Extraction. That's our Rex situation, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think it's Tantus. I think they do not have enough information to get there yet for them to
immediately jump. They just have the medical records, right?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's a good point.
But that does tie in with what we talked about last week, and someone brought up in Slack today is who's in the
pods,
honey
pods or whatever,
and if it's Ventress or Voss or
yeah,
Grogu.
But they can't get there yet because yeah, you're right. They don't have the info to get to Tantus, and this sounds like they are intentionally going in somewhere. Mm. I assume it's kind of, remember how like was it their Clone Wars arc where they found Echo, right? Yeah, like they infiltrate somewhere thinking they're going to.
It's on Skako Minor.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. And then they find an unexpected living being, I will assume, and then have to extract it. So I think based on these episode titles, they're going to go in for more intel, find someone alive that we know. I don't think it's Rex. I don't think it's anyone we've actually seen.
We know
yet.
Rex is good.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, honestly, I'm going to throw it out there. I feel like Gregor, because like, something has to happen to make him loopy by the time he hits Rebels.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
We need the Gregor Wolf episode, yeah.
Yeah, and we get them out, and then we send them back with Echo, takes them back to Rex, mm-hmm. and that's how they get together, and then Echo comes back, and then I'm sure goes to a farm in upstate New York instead of going to hang out with Rex.
He's going fishing with the boys.
Just looking at the history of marketing and such, we usually see like the trailers they put out as all very early episodes, and they did show Cad Bane. So I would not be surprised if we start getting some of the bounty hunters next week, because you know most of that footage is not going to be after like the second half.
Fennec, right? Yeah. So
now
there may be something where someone's paying to get clones out. So is it too much of a trope to do Cad Bane and Fennec going for a thing that the Bad Batch is again, and they have to do it basically the same thing that happened with Omega?
I'd rather not spend an episode or a two-parter all on that.
I agree.
Which I thought this when they released the episode titles. JG, I know you're a Marvel fan. I don't know if you've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Ming-Na Wen's character in that, Agent May, her nickname is the Cavalry. In that show, so maybe this is all just an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reference, and Fennec Shand is the Cavalry. Okay. So that's
possible.
That's my
you know, Oz. I'm really proud that a man your age is stretching this much. That's really good for you.
Gotta stay limber.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, just book it now. In 2 months, we'll find out. Just gonna be Agent May with Fennec Shand.
Well, apparently Oz has been spending a lot of time in our Taylor Swift channel because he is going full clown mode right now.
I'm ready for whichever Taylor's version is left. I don't actually know which one it is.
Reputation or debut. Yes. Just take your pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm ready for Taylor Swift, Taylor's version.
There you go. Love to see it. Shout out. Any other final predictions for next week? Again, it's going to be a busy one.
Yeah. I like the Wolf Gregor thing. I think I'm going to lock that in. On my side, I think that makes the most sense, and I think that it could be a really fun, cool episode, and it gets Echo out doing something and gets the Bad Batch kind of back on their mission while definitely getting more intel to get them to Tantus.
I think that sounds good.
I think my major prediction is that we're due for a major setback. We've built the whole crew back up together, and we need to have some more tears and sad boy hours, so I think we're having a major loss next week.
Yeah,
like how major?
As long as it's not Batcher, that's all I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Batcher saying death, crying on top of their graves at the end of the show for all I care. Like it'd be rough for him, but at least he'd be okay.
He'd be a good boy.
I don't have any specific predictions for next week that we haven't already mentioned, so I'm gonna roll with that and roll this into a quick final question. If you had to sacrifice one, Batcher or Omega?
Omega.
And on that note, guys,
I have a dog, not a kid. Moving on.
Well,
easy, baby.
Great. I think that's a perfect way to end it. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. And a quick reminder, this episode is brought to you by the Utini Discord community. If you want to hop on over there and discuss more of this episode or more of any other hobby, interest, nerd shit you like, go to utini.com/discord. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Bounty Hunt. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Utini Podcast Network. Be sure to show us some support and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps bring in new people to the community. And if you're already a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. Extra special thank you goes out to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raven Bezinski in our High Council, and Captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, Chris Carrizo, and Sally and Chris Eilerson for all their amazing support. head on over to Discord or continue the conversation about this week's episode in the SW The Bad Batch channel. Huge shout out to our editor, Kyle, for all this excellent work and getting us to your podcast feed so quickly. And thank you, Wes, as always, for all your teeny network podcast support. To our fantastic listeners, you are the heart of this community. Your stories, your voices, and your passions, that's what makes this whole thing special. That's it for us this week. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's keep having a great time together. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you all next week.
Go see Dune, you cowards.
You've been listening to the Bounty Hunt Podcast.
Yeah? Good.
To learn more about other Youtini Patreon exclusives, visit youtini.com.